Good morning, Saints for Jesus. It's lovely to talk to you again. And this is Cyril Stevens coming to you from Christmas Valley. The joy of looking at the Word of God is enormous. I want to share with you now, continuing in the Acts of the Apostles and looking at chapters 14 and 15. However, we won't get through those two chapters today. I want to share a little bit more in the 13th chapter, where we discover something happening as a result of what took place in the 13th chapter. Many people were persuaded that Jesus was risen from the dead, that's verse 30, but God raised Jesus from the dead, and he was seen of many days of them that came up from Galilee to Jerusalem, and are his witnesses unto his people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made to the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said, In no wise I will give you the sure mercies of David. So we have this terrific statement being made. Look at verse 35, where he quotes again from another psalm and says, Thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. For David, after that he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. And then if you cast your eyes down in these verses, you discover that Paul and John and Barnabas and Silas are talking about the Lord Jesus, and they're continually talking of the love of God and how it is that God is blessing them. Well, now they come to the place, verse 1 of chapter 14. It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected towards the brethren. Long time before abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. When there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. And they were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities in Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. There sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, and steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said in a loud voice, Stand upright on your feet. And he leapt and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles and Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered the nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witnesses, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And then they move on to Antioch. Now watch how all of this takes place, because it's very important. The church and its enemies, and there are enemies inside the church, as in this day they are today. And notice that anything that is not according to the word that they understand, they then work up evil. This happened not too many years ago. To me, I was seeking to get people to read the word of God, and I used a paraphrase, and I said, this is worth reading, and I really still do actually feel that it was more than just worth reading. I think it's worth time out to look at. But there were people within the congregation who couldn't bear to think that we would go away from the old King James Version, which I appreciate far more than I do any paraphrase. I don't even tolerate the NIV in my own studies. I don't touch it. I don't think it's a worthy document. But this was a paraphrase, made no pretense at being anything else. One or two people came to me, and one couple in particular said, yes, they'd read it all the way through, and they knew it all, and it was a terrible thing that I was doing. And just by their conversation and attitude, it was quite obvious that they had not read it all the way through. They knew about it. They had read something about it from some magazine, I suppose. They had made up their mind that this shouldn't be tolerated in their church. The snag is twofold. It was not their church. Their church is the born-again believers within the church where they worshipped. But the other thing is that they were not quite telling the truth. They were sort of telling the truth, but they're not the whole truth. I said, have you read all of it? Yes, was the emphatic and very quick answer. Now, usually people don't answer as quickly if they've actually done it. They're a little more humble than that. It spoke volumes as far as I was concerned. It's very important to understand we need to get to grips with some of the teachings and some of the valuable tools that we have today so that we can make it easier for people to come to the Word of God. One lady who has read this particular paraphrase now, she tells me, two or three times from Genesis through Revelation, said, it's terrific. However, I like the King James better. And she has gone back to the King James with a better understanding of King James and is really flourishing in reading the Word of God. Those are things that happen in churches. Now, notice in chapter 13 how we read this. The Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. And they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. That's when a pastor has to say, oops, time to leave, time to go somewhere else, because the word of the Lord is published throughout the region, verse 49. And then we come to this tragic verse of 50, where we read that devout and honorable women. Now, ladies, don't be offended. Please don't be offended. Try not to be offended. Work hard at it, will you? I don't think it's wrong that you have an opinion. And I think we should listen to the women and have their opinions put in front of us. But I do believe that there is a tendency within ladies to work people up, and they seem to get all worked up, even though they're devout and honorable. Notice the chief men. If you're an elder in a church or a deacon, be careful that you don't get caught up with something that somebody's saying and you raise persecution against your pastor or against the equivalent of Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas literally means the son of consolation. It's very important that there are so many men who are serving the Lord Jesus today that we forget the beauty of the holiness of these men and we bring wrong upon them and we do them wrong by telling stories that are not truthful. This happens. So we're now in Iconium and the Jews got together in the synagogue of the Jews and so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Now here's something. If you keep on telling the word of God, people will believe. Keep telling the old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Keep doing it and keep bringing it in front of people. Keep on with the ministry that you have because you love the Lord Jesus. And here, women are absolutely fabulously placed. And God has done this deliberately, I think, because they can more easily speak to children than do most of us men. And they can more easily gossip the word of God so that people hear the wonderful snippets of the word of God. The ministry of women in the Bible is a tremendous one, but especially when you come to the New Testament, devout women. Are you a devout lady listening to this? Notice, will you, that when people respond to the word of God, it does something. The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. How sad. Instead of supporting the word of God that is being enunciated by the Gentiles are stirred up to reject the word of God. There is evil affection against the brethren. Whenever you see this, you need to pull it down. It's a house of cards, and you need to let the breath of the Holy Spirit blow it down. Not easily done, but can be done, should be done, and must be done. I would say to you this, these unbelieving Jews that stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren, this is verse 2 of chapter 14, long time therefore abode the apostles, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony. Now listen to this, because it's important. Unto the word of his grace. It is the grace of God that we have the word of God. The grace of God, grace meaning the unmerited favor. We did not earn this. We did not study and discover it as brand new. God gave us his word. Ignorant and unlearned men took the word of God to the world, and the world received the word of God. Today we have very well-educated people telling the word of God in a manner that is missing the mark. And it's a great tragedy. We need to get to that place where we speak boldly in the Lord. But you can't easily speak boldly unless you abide in the Lord. And we need to give testimony of the word of his grace, his unmerited favor. What does that mean? I believe it means this, that the word of his unmerited favor is that salvation was bought by Jesus on the cross of Calvary, and because Jesus purchased it with his blood and the sacrifice of his flesh, Jesus made a new and living way for men and women to come to Christ and come to God through him. Understand him who loves us with an everlasting love and a love that will not let us go. Talking recently to a young person who has had a terrible time with sexuality and his wife has left him and his new wife is about to leave him and all that sort of thing. And dreadful things have happened in his life. It's just amazing that God reached out through his word by his grace. This man did not earn any of the things that he has. God gave him. I don't know what in the world our president would do with this statement that I'm making, because he said that we all had help one way and another. But then that's a different story and a different area of speaking. But I would certainly say to you that the Lord Jesus, by the word of his grace, is revealed. And God reveals himself to those that will listen. God reveals himself to those that will come to him. And he will in no way cast them out into the darkness again. He will hold them in the area where there's light, where there is liberty, and where there is great blessing. Oh, the blessing of God is enormous in the light of God that is colossal, because the grace of God invented the whole thing. And so we find, at least I find, that people are aware but not soundly aware of the word of his grace. The word of God is expressed because the grace of God is so colossal. Then I would say to you, look at this, please, in verse 3 of 14, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Signs and wonders? My word, what does this mean? It means quite simply that if we go on into chapter 14, we find there is a man who sat in Lystra, and he was impotent in his feet, that is, his feet didn't function, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leapt and he walked. And when the people saw it and what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." There's a mistaken identity that we will discover in a moment. But first, understand this story is recorded for us that we might understand, I believe, that God granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. At the hands of Paul and Barnabas, this young man got up and leapt and walked. This man was now walking and jumping and saying all sorts of remarkable things, that God had blessed him, God had healed him, God had given him a newness of life. And they were all bewildered. The multitude of the city, verse 4, was divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. When there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. Now, here, come on. You've seen this colossal blessing, this great demonstration of what God will do. Why would people that called themselves the religious leaders, the rulers of the day, why would they turn against the word of God? Because it takes away the authority. A man in a church that I was pastor of said one day, when we had a very large congregation, we had grown from 130-some to 600. We had opened the church twice on a Sunday morning and so on to accommodate all these people. And it was pretty hard to do, but we had a marvelous time. I preached in one service on Acts of the Apostles, in the next service the Gospel of John. And so it went on, and that's how I was able to divide up the preaching and not be saying the same thing twice in one day, but to give it some refreshment. The people there were thrilled, and we were seeing all sorts of things happen. We saw people come to the Lord that nobody thought would ever come to the Lord. But suddenly, there was a sort of an undercurrent. And I remember sitting in my chair in my study thinking, why? Why was this happening? And one or two people that had been fairly close to me, they started to not be so close. And I started questioning the Lord and saying, what's happening? And gradually it dawned on me what was happening. The authority of the Holy Spirit was taking over the congregation, and the people that wanted the authority, the power mongers as I call them, they were suddenly deprived of their authority, because it didn't matter what they got up and said, if it wasn't fitting as far as the rest of the congregation was concerned, these people were just told no. They weren't used to being told no. They had the money, they had the power, so they wanted to maintain the power brokerage in that church. And so they started thinking up all sorts of unkind things to do and to say. Now, just as Paul and Barnabas were more or less run out of town because they did this thing, so preachers today, if they sit and think long enough and in their prayers spend time discovering what's going on in their churches, they will see that the power mongers are not prepared to release and allow the liberty of the Holy Spirit to enter into that congregation. And what happens at that point is that they get rid of the pastor, and having got rid of the pastor, the power mongers now take over. Only instead of having 130 or so to deal with, they now have 600. And the 600 are now disenfranchised because they know it's powerful, because they've experienced the leading of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit, but somehow the Holy Spirit is gone. And the power mongers do their thing. It only takes a year or so to start the decline, and after a little while, a few years, that church is reduced to almost nothing. People don't look at that and say, God, in his mercy, is closing this church down, because we've allowed wickedness to take over. Well, verse 6 tells us when Paul and Barnabas were aware of what was going on, they went on to Lystra and to Derbe, cities of Laconia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. It is impossible to think of the Apostle Paul and not think of the preaching of the gospel, because this is what he did, and this was his life. For me to live is Christ, he cried. For me to die is gain. To be with Jesus is far better. But for your sakes, I'm here preaching, teaching, and following him. We look on and we get beyond the story that I've already mentioned in verse 8 down to verse 12, and we find now the mistaken identities. Now, how people like to put a name on everything. It's one of the most sickening things I've ever come across, but it's happening. And in Christian work, this is happening everywhere. If it doesn't have a tag and a label and a pigeonhole, why, it doesn't exist. And we can't allow this and that to happen because we don't understand it. But they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Verse 12. Then the priest of Jupiter did something that was crazy. He said, let's worship Jupiter. And his emissary, his representative, the man that has the testimony of Jupiter, is this Barnabas man, who also, with the Apostle Paul, allowed this man to get healed and helped in the healing. And so he brings a large bull. He's prepared to cut its throat and burn the sacrifice and offer up the sacrifice of all sorts of other bits and pieces. And he's going to call a day off from work and everything. Everybody's going to dance in the streets and have a great old time because they're going to worship Jupiter. But Jupiter didn't do anything. And Jupiter didn't cause the healing of this man. It was a little while before Paul and Barnabas realized what was happening, and when they did, they went running out to the crowd. They said, stop it, stop it, stop it. We are men of like passions as ye are. Understand us. We are human beings, but the Holy Spirit works through us. And when the Holy Spirit works through us, something massive takes place. And this is what takes place. You've seen it And that's the evidence. But it's God. It is the God that created the heavens and the earth. It is the creation God of this whole planet. Understand what's going on here. God in his mercy is having mercy and is pouring out mercy. You need to repent and believe in this God, not have a festival over two men that don't know quite what end of the week it is. We're just channels. Many years ago, a friend of mine said this to me. He said, what you need to be as a pastor preacher is to be a pulpit through whom the Holy Spirit can preach, because he can stand in the pulpit of your life and preach and teach people around you. Now, that was a great statement and a wonderful one. It's something that has always been at least in the shadows of my heart and mind for these many years now. It's important for us to know. Well, I have to stop. I'm sorry, but we'll continue this on in our next program, and we get into chapter 15. And the Lord bless you and keep you. Saints, become a man who preaches the word through the life that he lives, the Holy Spirit is living in. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you this day to take the bread of life that we've shared and break it into edible pieces, that the souls of all those listening may be refreshed and revived, and that your blessing may be upon all of us. For Jesus' sake, amen. Hey, thank you for listening to us, and thank you for being here. Bye-bye. God bless.